In this lecture, we are going to look at a number of additional aspects relating to group relief. First of all, let's remind ourselves that group relief is a current year relief only. The maximum relief that can flow from one company to another 75% company, being the lower of the available loss of the surrendering company and the available profit of the claimant companies. Let's take a look at a diagram. A Limited owns 75% of B Limited. During the year ended 31st of December, A Limited makes a loss of £120,000. In the same chargeable accounting period, B Limited makes a profit of £90,000. Therefore, the maximum group relief claim between the two companies is going to be £90,000, the lower of the available loss or the available profit. And the companies can specify a claim up to a maximum amount of £90,000. So how does group relief differ when the two companies do not have the same year ends? The losses and profits must be time apportioned accordingly. Let us show this on a diagram. Again, A Limited owns 75% of B Limited. During the year ended 31st of December 2010, A Limited makes a loss of £120,000. B Limited has a 31st of March year end. During the year ended 31st of March 2010, B Limited makes a profit of £90,000. And during the year ended 31st of March 2011, B Limited makes a profit of £150,000. How much of A Limited's loss can be surrendered to B Limited? We need to look carefully at each accounting period. The period in common, in respect of B Limited's year end of the 31st of March 2010, is 3 months, being the period from the 1st of January 2010 to the 31st of March 2010. Therefore, the amount of loss that can flow to B Limited for the year ended 31st of March 2010 is the lower of 3/12 of the available loss, which is £30,000, or 3/12 of the available profit, which is £22,500. The maximum group relief claim is therefore £22,500. Taking the loss flow to B Limited for the year ended 31st of March 2011, the period in common here is now 9 months, that being from the 1st of April 2010 to the 31st of December 2010. Therefore, the flow of losses is going to be the lower of 9/12 of the loss, which is £90,000, or 9/12 of the profit, which is £112,500. The maximum claim, therefore, is £90,000. How does group relief work for short accounting periods? Again, time apportionment applies. Here we have A Limited, which owns 75% of B Limited. And during the 12-month accounting period, A Limited makes a profit of £100,000. B Limited makes up accounts for the 9 months ended 31st of December 2010, and during that period makes a loss of £90,000. B Limited may have a short chargeable accounting period, because its year end used to be March, but when it was bought by this new group, they decided to align the year end to A Limited's accounting date. The flow of losses will be the lower of 9/9 of the available loss, which is £90,000, or 9/12 of the profit arising between the 1st of April 2010 and the 31st of December 2010, being £75,000. Therefore, the maximum flow of losses will be £75,000 from B to A. Let us now look at the rules which apply where a company joins a group. A company joins a group when 75% of its ownership is transferred. If this occurs partway through an accounting period, time apportionment rules apply. Only losses made after the company joined the group can be group relieved. Here we have A Limited, which owns 75% of B Limited. A Limited has a profit of £160,000 in the year ended 31st of December 2010, and B Limited has a loss of £120,000 during the same period. Assume that A Limited acquires 75% of the shares of B Limited on the 1st of April 2010. What is the maximum group relief? Work out the answer and insert the figure in the box provided. Once you are ready, select Continue. B Limited is acquired on the 1st of April 2010. Therefore, for the last 9 months of the accounting period, losses may flow between the two companies. Therefore, the loss flow is going to be the lower of 9/12 of the profit, which is £120,000, or 9/12 of the loss, which is £90,000. The maximum claim, therefore, would be £90,000. Similar rules apply where a company leaves a group. A company leaves a group when arrangements come into force to sell the shares in it. This was established in the case of Shepherd and Lawland PLC in 1990. Again, time apportionment will apply. Assume A Limited owns 75% of B Limited. Both companies draw accounts to the 31st of December. During the year ended 31st of December 2010, A Limited makes a loss of £60,000 and B Limited makes a profit of £80,000. Arrangements for A Limited to sell its 75% stake in B Limited came into force on the 30th of April 2010. What is the maximum group relief that can flow between the companies? Insert the figure in the box and select Continue when you are ready. Group relief will be available from the 1st of January 2010 to the 30th of April 2010, which is 4 months. Therefore, the maximum group relief will be the lower of 4/12 of the loss, which is £20,000, or 4/12 of the profit, which is £26,667. Therefore, the maximum flow of losses will be £20,000. Statement of Practice 393 gives some guidance on when arrangements come into force. Let us now look specifically at the rules for buying and selling subsidiaries. Assume we have a company, Z Limited, which is part of a group. During the year ended 31st of December 2010, it makes a loss of £120,000. On the 30th of April 2010, a contract is agreed for the sale of Z Limited by the XPLC group. This is the date the arrangements came into force to sell it. Therefore, the maximum amount of loss which is available to the XPLC group is £40,000, i.e. 4/12 of £120,000. On the 1st of July 2010, Z Limited joins the YPLC group, this being the date that the shares are actually transferred. The maximum flow of losses to the YPLC group will be £60,000, being 6/12 of £120,000. So what was happening in the 2 months between the 30th of April and the 1st of July? This was basically the time between the arrangements coming into force, i.e. the binding contract of sale and the actual transfer of the company's shares. This is very similar to the period between exchange and completion when buying a property, and therefore this time should be minimized in practice to ensure that valuable group relief is not disappearing in that hole between exchange and completion. Let us also look at an alternative to time apportionment. Profits and losses must be apportioned on a just and reasonable basis, which is usually time apportionment. However, we may need to restrict amounts if this appears to be unreasonable to either the company or the revenue. Let us say that we have a company with a year end of the 31st of December 2010 and a trade profit of £120,000. The company joins a new group on the 1st of July 2010. On the 1st of February 2010, it sells a property and realises a capital gain of £100,000. The group relief period will be from the 1st of July 2010 to the end of the year, which is 6 months. However, the revenue will only accept 6/12 of £120,000, i.e. £60,000, as group relief, not 6/12 of total profit, i.e. 6/12 of £220,000, which includes the gain. The reason the revenue will want to exclude the gain is because the asset that has been sold has got nothing to do with the new group. It will therefore seem wrong that losses from the new group can come across and shelter part of a capital gain on an asset which has been sold before it even joined that group. Sub-subsidiaries. When looking at the group relief definition, we of course look at 75%. This applies both directly and indirectly, so is particularly important when we look at sub-subsidiaries. Let us say that A Limited owns 75% of B Limited, and B Limited in turn owns 75% of C Limited. C Limited is therefore a sub-subsidiary of A Limited. Group relief can flow between A and B because of the 75% relationship, and indeed between B and C. However, losses cannot flow between A and C, because A only has a 56.25% stake in C Limited, i.e. 75% of 75%. That is not high enough for group relief of losses. Looking at the next diagram, A Limited owns 90% of B, which in turn owns 90% of C, which in turn owns 90% of D. Click all the companies that a loss of A Limited could be transferred to. Once you have finished, select Continue. A Limited owns 90% of B Limited, so therefore a loss of A could be transferred to B. A Limited owns 81% of C Limited, i.e. 90% of 90%, and is again above 75%, so therefore a loss of A could be transferred to C. However, A Limited only owns 72.9% of D Limited, that's 90% of 81%, that is below 75%, so therefore a loss of A could not be transferred to Company D, and vice versa. However, this restriction on surrendering losses from overseas resident companies changed following the European decision in Marks & Spencer's PLC and Halsey. In that case, the European Court decided that group companies within the EU should be able to participate in group relief. Legislation was introduced in Finance Act 2006 to allow the transfer of losses from companies in the European Economic Area, EEA, provided they are not available for relief elsewhere. These rules apply to accounting periods beginning on or after the 1st of April 2006, with apportionment where an accounting period crosses this date. Anti-avoidance legislation relating to these losses was also introduced from February 2006. Under the anti-avoidance legislation, losses will not be available where the amount would not qualify for group relief but for any relevant arrangements, or the amount would not have arisen to the non-resident company but for any relevant arrangements, and the main purpose, or one of the main purposes, of the relevant arrangements was to secure that the amount would qualify for group relief. To qualify for the relief, the surrendering company must be chargeable to tax under the law of an EEA state. Relief will be available in two circumstances. Firstly, where the surrendering company is a 75% subsidiary of the claimant company, and the claimant company is resident in the United Kingdom. Secondly, where both the surrendering company and the claimant company are 75% subsidiaries of a third company that is resident in the United Kingdom. The losses to be surrendered must meet the following four conditions. Firstly, the equivalence condition. This means the loss is a type of loss eligible for group relief. Second, the EEA tax loss condition. Here the loss is one that arises under the laws of the EEA state. Third, the qualifying loss condition. This means the loss cannot be used in a current, past or future accounting period by the company or a third party. And finally, the fourth condition, the precedence condition. Here losses are to be used first by intermediate holding companies in other member states. Once it has been established that a loss exists under all these conditions, it must be recomputed using UK rules. The maximum loss that can be surrendered is the EEA loss. If recomputing the loss gives an income figure, then no loss can be claimed. If a lower loss results, this is the maximum that can be claimed. With regard to the third condition, the qualifying loss condition, the rules require that the loss cannot be taken into account in calculating any profits, income or gains which arise to the company or any other person in the current or any previous period and are chargeable to tax for the current or any previous period. In addition, they require that the amount of loss cannot be relieved in the current or any previous period by the payment of a credit, the elimination or reduction of a tax liability, or by any other means of any kind. All steps must be taken to claim all relief available. In looking at the fourth condition, the precedence condition, it is only necessary to consider intermediate holding companies where there is a 75% link. To recalculate the loss under UK rules, certain assumptions have to be made about the residency of the company and its sources of income. The company is treated as UK resident from the start of the loss-making accounting period. A deemed accounting period begins at the start of the loss-making period. Trading income is treated as trade profit. For capital allowances purposes, it is assumed that the plant or machinery was provided for purposes wholly other than those of the activity and was not brought into use for the purposes of the activity until the beginning of the loss period, and Section 13 of the Capital Allowances Act, which is the use for qualifying activity of plant or machinery provided for other purposes, will apply. Non-resident companies. Losses may be transferred to UK permanent establishments, or PEs, of foreign-owned companies by a fellow 75% UK subsidiary, and vice versa. Let us say that A Inc. owns 75% of B Limited and also owns a UK PE. Losses may flow between the UK PE and B Limited. However, the losses of A Inc.'s UK PE can only be surrendered to the extent that if a profit had arisen in the UK PE, it would have been subject to UK corporation tax and would not be exempt under a double tax treaty. Also, the losses can only be surrendered where no part of the loss is relievable or allowable in any period against non-UK profits of any person for the purposes of any foreign tax. The effect is that the loss of the UK PE is treated as relievable in the foreign territory in preference to the UK. Therefore, only when there is no relief abroad can the loss then be transferred to B Limited under the group relief regime. Finally, where a UK resident company has an overseas PE, it can surrender losses provided they are not otherwise deductible or allowable against non-UK profits of a person other than the company. This now concludes this session on further aspects of group relief.